Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Sorry for our break. We had a lot of scheduling issues, but here we are back in the new year, 2021, and hey, we kind of made it a week before things went bad. Kinda. We were so close. We're so close. I mean, I thought for a minute that Kanye's news was going to be the weirdest thing of the new year, but I was wrong. I'm sorry. So, but yes, I am your host now and forever, maybe. Triforce Todd. I'm going to say Tellius. That's not right.
You wish.
No, I don't wish. I mean, yeah, I mean, Tellius is a great place. It has Ike. But anyway, I am Triforce Todd, the one and only. And joining me today is, of course, my eternal co-hosts, Wario Will.
You should probably already know that nothing lasts forever, Todd. And I just want to say this beginning what first week, seven days into the new year, and
yeah.
Holy moly, things cannot stop already? Come on. Yeah. I mean, even on gaming news sites or even at the world situation as it is, it's like, holy moly, can we just take a little break a little? Come on.
I guess you could say for one president, he will never be a memory. Yeah, I know. I had to get that in. And of course, Tellius Tyler is here.
First show of the decade, guys. I'm really excited.
No.
It starts in 2021. Everybody knows. Remember last year there was the debate about when the decade started for real? There was not a year zero. So this is actually, it's 2021 to 2030. Last decade was rough, but we're starting off fresh. A nice new decade ahead of us.
Yeah, that didn't go well either. All right. So it doesn't matter if you count it 2020 or 2021. Things didn't go well the first go around. So you're trying to reset the clock, and it took a week for that to get derailed. Nice job.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a very good point. If anybody thought 2021 was actually going to be better, I just horrible news for you.
Yeah. And we're just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, brother. But we will do our best to entertain you in the new year that is to hopefully come. And with that, we're going to be talking about the year that was. We're going to be looking at the year to be. And, of course, the 5th annual Nintendo Draft. But it's just going to be us three this year. We've had guests the past couple times, but it's going to be just us three to start off truly fresh. And this time we'll get it right. Maybe. But, of course, we're going to start all off with what have you been playing? I'll go first because I, of course, have been playing Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity, and at our last show, which is a couple weeks ago, I had just gotten up my review, and I was at a place where I was really close to the end, but I wasn't really sure how long it was actually going to go, so I was just like, I have enough to render my judgment, and it was a good judgment. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. But I have now finished the game, or more accurately, I have finished the main quest line. There's still, of course, post-game content and such, which I won't spoil. But I was really surprised, not just by how the game ended, which I won't spoil because I know Tyler hasn't played it yet, but it was surprisingly emotional.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, there were some key revelations about Zelda, about our little droid friend, who I did warm up to, especially once we got Sidon in full form. The much older Sidon with a winning smile.
Yep.
I just love that's his tagline, Sidon, winning smile.
Yep.
They're not wrong, but there was a lot going on with that, and the boss fight, I will say, was much more entertaining, ironically enough, than the original Breath of the Wild boss fight. It kind of makes you wonder what they're going to do with Breath of the Wild 2, because this is canon, technically, kind of. So, but it was really fun, and there's plenty of post-game content, and what I found, which really helped for me cement my 4.5 out of 5, was that I just loved how I was wanting to do all the side quests. I'm not usually a completionist, usually because I'm the person reviewing the games for the website or for other websites. And I want to get through the storylines. Like with Xenoblade, I know I could have spent easily 10, 20 hours doing all the, knickknacks and doodads and two, getting all the blades and the higher stats for the cities and everything. I just didn't care. I wanted to get through the storyline. But with this one, I was just like, ooh, there's a new Taba mission, and ooh, there's a new Rivali mission, and ooh, here's Sidon, and blah, blah, blah. And, and of course, Mipha, and by the time I was done with the game, Link was at, level 75.
Ah, okay.
He was my go-to. Him and Mipha were just so good. But, there was a lot of surprises, and I was just wanting to go and try all these little levels to get, like, you know, that extra heart, that extra special gauge, that extra, you know, meal that I could use in the final level. I was wanting to do it all, and that just shows that how much I liked this, because I'm usually not that guy. I would have been the guy to just go, okay, let's level up these few and then go up to the next story mission. But no, I was like, let's do this level. Let's do this level. I can upgrade this. I can upgrade that. Ooh, I can get a discount here. Let's do that. And I didn't mind. And that's how fun it is.
Yeah. I definitely agree. And I just recently watched that Gerard's completionist recompleting the original Hyrule Wars. And we know how much content is in that game with all the DLCs. Is like, it's massive to the point. So, I mean, in comparison to this, in Age of Calamity, is just like, it seems to find a very good, a good amount of extra content. And it doesn't really feel like filler, to say the least. Because, again, you're filling out the zones of each territory, improving your characters via, yeah, like HP, special gauge, and all that. So, it feels like that Koei Tecmo knows like when to add content, but also not add like meaningful extra side content, like with these side quests, and of course with all the different characters. And yeah, like you, I just like want to see like, oh, what's these different side stories in it? Also, I'm just really do enjoy like the extra flavor text in these side quests, because like once you read it, like, oh, that's what he does, though. That's what Zelda does in the preparation, or Impa does. It's just like it adds a bit more story as well to like the history of Age Calamity. So yeah, that's one thing I do appreciate in these side quests. It's not just like blank side quests. It actually is meaningful.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. I haven't been playing this, but I did get up my review of Pokemon Journeys, and I gotta say, I don't want to say like the shine is coming off, because it's not. There are still some really great moments, but there's definitely I still maintain that the Netflix model is not good for this show. There are shows that work in a binge setting. This is not one of them. I will. That is the hill I will die on. That is my soapbox. But I'll. There were some episodes that really worked, and there were episodes that really didn't. Like we mentioned a few months back, the Pikachu episode where Pikachu runs away. I finally saw that episode, and I thought it was so dumb. Like, Pikachu gets annoyed because Ash is training Riolu, and Ash doesn't realize somehow that Pikachu is upset that he's not being used, and he even calls Pikachu lazy at one point, and is mad because Pikachu shocks him. And I'm just like, dude, you're not, even you are not this dumb, all right? And then another episode was a Go emotional episode, and it was perfectly done. I was like, where was that this episode? So, and we haven't gotten to the Alola episode yet, which I really thought was in this set, but I guess it's in the next one. And their Mewtwo episode is coming up, so I'm looking forward to that. But and we still haven't seen Serena, so she better be coming. But, I still like Pokemon Journeys, but I hate inconsistencies, especially when it's just like dumb ones, and this is exactly a case of that. But it was still good, and I'm looking forward to the next set. But yeah, that's basically been my thing, and I've been watching a whole bunch of other things during my break, as if I had time, that is. So, like, for Cobra Kai, by the way, we watched that, and we did a spoiler cast here on Outer Haven, so if you're a fan of that show, go and check out our spoiler cast. It's fun and shows no mercy, literally and emphatically. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some new games going in 2021, whatever that may be.
Will, do you want to go ahead next?
Yeah, like, I guess, like, during my transition into the new year, as I have been continuing on, I just been, one, obviously, actually kept with my New Year's resolution to keep on with Ring Fit training, and I just realized now, like, because, not to spoil it in case you want to go continue on, Tyler, but there are, let's check. I think there was 23 worlds in total in Ring Fit Adventure. And I'm only in world number 13 right now, which is, I'm currently like a level 100 something, 150. I don't remember. But yeah, like 23 worlds in Ring Fit Adventure. It is a long time. And just doing all those squats and everything, yeah, you will feel the burn. So again, it's nothing new, but yeah, Ring Fit Adventure, definitely a great way to keep up with your New Year's resolution. So just keep up with that. Also, and yeah, I've been just continuing on with the Hades runs. Right now, I think I just hit it my fourth or fifth run. I don't recall, but yeah, just did my fourth or fifth escape from Hades. And yeah, just these extra modifiers. I gotta say, those modifiers, especially with that like the extra boss moves, I think you can probably help me here, Tyler. Yeah, like the on the heated contracts is just like it gets so intense to the point, like, again, facing all three Furies. Of course, we have
extreme
Kate.
Measures.
Yeah. And then, like, of course, with Hydras and, of course, Theseus. He's always a pain in the butt. And it's just, like, it's just so much fun, to say the least. Again, Hades, definitely a great game to continue on, even for this year. So, yeah, Hades, definitely get it if you have a chance. So, yeah, continue on with that. And let's see. And of course, naturally, it was usual. I've been doing with a bit of Fire Emblem Heroes, and of course, the New Year's banner, which again, you two don't like it because, again, who doesn't like can get their own OC characters from the original Fire Emblem Heroes? But personally, for me, I don't mind. I got two new characters, and of course, lo and behold, the Fates have seemed to hurt my cause or resonate with my spirit because, yes, I got the temptation. Anew from I forgot her name, but yeah, got her in the banner as well as what was that Boric from Fates? I don't remember these names. I'm sorry, but yeah, got two characters from the New Year's banner, and so just basically grinding up the orbs, and of course we just recently have a new banner for Thracia 776. So of course, good on you for support. For those who like that entry in the franchise, so there's that. But overall, it's just been a lot of games to play. I mean, again, I could definitely talk about more of Yakuza Like a Dragon, but again, I've just been playing more Mahjong, all that. But this seems to be just a lot of games to play now, and this year has been that good because just today at the time of recording, we obviously just got the Monster Hunter Rise demo that just got released. That I just currently got. Download it right now. I just can't wait to go and play it right after this recording. So yeah, definitely want to try out Monster Hunter Rise. So overall, it's been quite adventurous, to say the least.
I have also been playing Ring Fit, actually, Will. I got back into it, and of course the first workout back was brutal. The one time I think I told the story before where I literally passed out on my bathroom floor because I took it lightly and worked too hard before I realized what was happening. It was too late. It was a similar thing this time, but I wised up, so I knew to take breaks when I felt my heart starting to go go haywire. So that was fun. But I also actually back in, I believe it was 2018, there was a game called The Messenger that was released, or that was shown off in an indie world, I think. It's by Devolver Digital. Yes. I bought that a long time ago, but I jumped back into, or I actually played it for the first time. I started it last week, and I just finished it tonight. And I really like that game. And that's two Devolver Digital games that I've been like, oh, that's interesting. I'm going to grab it. And I didn't know it was Devolver until I started playing it. That and Katana Zero was the other one. So I might have to check out their other games. They've done a bunch. I know My Friend Pedro was one that they were advertising.
Yes, that was a good one.
Yeah, I might check that one out. The Messenger was a... It starts out as a 2D side-scroller, like an 8-bit game. And then that kind of gets... It's a good game. The platforming is good, not great, I would say. The controls are a little... off. There's a wingsuit move that you can use where you can glide through the air, and I just wish, like, that's mapped to the jump button, and I wish that that was mapped to a different button, because there are so many times where I try to deploy the wingsuit and either I press the button too fast or something screwy happens and I think I've done one thing and something else happens and then I die. But aside from that minor complaint, it's pretty much only the wingsuit that gives me issues. The controls are good, and it's a solid platformer, but the game turns into a 16-bit Metroidvania game about halfway through, where you start backtracking to places you've been, and they're all interconnected, and you'll find a few new levels to explore. It's a really, really fun game if you like the 8-bit 2D platformer or Metroidvania. I'd suggest it for anybody who's a fan of one or the other, because it never totally feels like the platforming elements go side, like just get thrown out the door, and the same thing goes for the exploration. Even in the beginning, you're rewarded for exploring the stages to the fullest. So I really enjoyed that game. Overall, I'd probably say it was an 8 out of 10, maybe 7.5 out of 10. definitely worth it if you enjoy those type of things. And the music is phenomenal, as is the writing. But there's a shopkeeper who will tell you stories you can just talk to. You can ignore him if you wanted to, but if you exhaust all your dialogue options, the shopkeeper is extremely funny, and some of the they break the fourth wall all the time, which always cracks me up. So yeah, that was the Messenger Ring Fit Adventure, and then of course Smash Bros. Whenever I'm home, I'm playing some Smash with my with my siblings, enjoying Sephiroth. Still, he's just such a cool character, so well designed. And yes, yeah, so I've been having a blast with those games. I need to get back into Dragon Quest. I think that's what I'm gonna try to do next is start knocking out before Bravely Default 2 comes out and Bowser's Fury. Just clear as many games off my backlog as I can, because there's a ton of them on there still.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to do what we were going to do last week before we had to cancel the show. But we're going to look back now at 2020, which I know is hard. I know it's hard. But we're going to look at this from the Nintendo perspective. Let's look at what they did right and what they did wrong and what hopefully... Well, we won't talk about what's 2021. That's the draft. But let's look at 2020 from the Nintendo perspective and what they did right. The obvious big thing for me was Animal Crossing. Like, I know part of, and we keep joking about how Nintendo unintentionally caused the pandemic so Animal Crossing would sell that well, but like that game went from, you know, okay, we have Animal Crossing to, oh my gosh, it's Animal Crossing! Like, oh, there's new stuff for my island! You know, like, my feed when that game came out was like Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing, Animal Crossing. You know, everyone from my friends to wrestlers and everyone in between was just posting pics of their island. And it's like pretty cool. It's already like the second best selling Nintendo game on Switch so far. And it's not even been out a year. So, wow. But that game just, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. That game saved Nintendo's year.
Pretty much.
I mean, if they didn't have that, their first major title would have been Xenoblade Chronicles Remastered, which was fine. Mm-hmm. Then Paper Mario, which is okay. And then technically Pikmin, I guess. Yeah. And then of course...
I'm not even counting Pikmin.
Yeah, let's not count Pikmin. But then there was Hyrule Warriors Age Calamity. But, like, that was it. So, like, that game, I was listening to the Nintendo Draft of last year, and I noted how Smash Brothers carried the year for them in many ways. Animal Crossing carried 2020 for Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like, no bones about it. And they're still going strong. It's still selling well, and that's insane. It will no doubt be the number one selling game on the Switch by the end of everything, if not sooner. So,
I kind of doubt that because, again, Super Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is that game that, I don't know, it seems to me that it will have a hard time going against that title because, like, yeah, as much as we love Animal Crossing and many of the consumers does enjoy it, I mean, there's something that really can be said when it comes to the beast that is Mario Kart 8. It's just like, yeah, I mean, can it surpass it? Sure, but it's Mario Kart. I really find it kind of doubtful it can really surpass something as branded as that.
Yeah. It's just so funny because I listened to the draft and one of the comments I made was that, you know, Nintendo didn't really have a big title to carry them through the year at the time of the recording, and I didn't count Animal Crossing because I'm like, I think we even noted when it launched that, like, yeah, it might sell a few million, like 5 million lifetime, and it sold 5 million in a week. And that's just crazy. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, no, it was 10 million. It was 10 million. Then it was like 11 in the month. And then it doubled that in the next 3 months. And it's still going strong today. There's no way anyone thought that New Horizons was going to be that big, especially with, remember all the, like, quote unquote scandals that happened before it? Like the whole, you can only have one island.
I remember
our dear friend Kromcho, hope you're doing well. And others were like, this sucks. You know, I'm not going to get Animal Crossing if I can only have one island and blah, blah, blah. Nobody's talking about that now.
Right.
No.
Definitely not. And again, I can say that this is good, even though I've never played it. I'm not going to play it, and that's fine. But it's just that game just took everyone by surprise, and how much it sold, how much everybody's playing it, even to this day. The free updates are, you know, really helping with things. It's just crazy.
like, yeah, again, it was nominated for Video Game of the Year. I mean, alongside with, like, Final Fantasy VII Remake and, of course, Last of Us Part II, Black.
And honestly, was it robbed? Yes, it was. Animal Crossing was, in terms of the Game of the Year, like, was it the best game? Maybe not. But was it the most significant game? Yes. I mean, this game got everybody through the first months of quarantine.
pretty much. And there's the only gripe I probably would have, say, with New Horizons is, like, they have the one thing that they have good ideas with that game is, like, it's actually in their mobile game, with Pocket Camp. Because, like, you see your animals interact with the items that you actually bought. Like, I'm going to have my animals or my own character use the hot spring. I mean, can we do that in New Horizons? Like, I bought a hot spring. I want to use it. Can we not do that, Nintendo? It's like, yeah. It's just like, can we have more interactivity with our items that we bought with our own hard-earned bells and not just sell it from Tom Nook? So, yeah, that's, like, my only, like, major gripe. I'm pretty sure other people share. But aside from that, yeah, New Horizons is just, yeah, it's just that title that really was definitely the surprise, and I think probably the needed game of that year, to say the least.
So, Tyler, for you, what you feel won the big highlights of 2020 for Nintendo?
For me, the biggest highlight, well, yeah, I'll give my number one, and then we'll talk a little bit more, I guess, later. Number one is Xenoblade for me. Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, because that game turned my perception of the series around. I was very anti-Xenoblade, famously.
Yeah.
Well, pseudo-famously, as far as podcasts go. But I loved Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition so much. Just everything about that game, the characters, the story. Actually, I haven't even finished the post-game yet. I need to get back to that. But it was such a masterpiece of a game that it made me give 2 another look, which then I also ended up loving. So for me, I mean, that was when I looked at my total game time, which was, I think, 717 hours. It was disgusting. Those two games took up about half of that. I mean, that game, they both ended up really kind of driving me through what was otherwise a really slow summer for Nintendo. Really just a slow year until the very end. So for me, Xenoblade was the highlight.
How about you, Will?
Like, if anything else, I think probably the thing that also really kept us going would be Smash Brothers, because, like, as a thing that kind of, like, us ravenous Nintendo fanboys can be, like, Smash Brothers was definitely the thing that really helped us. I mean, sure, of course, there is that whole issue with Steve, which, again, yeah, we have basically made fun of to the most part. I mean, you did not like it. I was like, fine. I mean, I get it.
And then Tyler liked it.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, fine. Steve, he has a place, and why not? And of course, we get to see us that sacrifice his own home abode and seeing all these different new amiibos, and like, okay, fine. Of course, again, we get to get a Banjo-Kazooie amiibo, which I can't wait, and all that. So, but of course, and naturally, with the end of the year with Sephiroth, is just like, okay, redeemed. You can take it. You can take my money, Daddy Sakurai. And like, yeah, it's just like, those were basically the good highlights of the year in that dark time. Like, okay, we have Smash Brothers. Okay, Steve, fine. Sephiroth, oh yeah, thank you. And even with all like the things that have been happening with Nintendo, we're going to like the whole the tournament, and of course with their recent business practices, to say the least. But they also have their moments again with Sephiroth just to redeem themselves. Like, okay, they have done some good, and thank you, Daddy Sakura, for doing so. So, yep. Yeah, like that's definitely one of the highlights of the year, and I can only imagine how it is with the next character. I mean, again, how the heck you can top up Sephiroth?
Which, I don't know. Again, that in that trailer. Ugh, that trailer was great. So, they killed Mario, and then they didn't. Like, commit!
The commit! Fear in Mario's face, too, when he gets that overall sliced is compelling.
And here's the thing. I don't know why they didn't commit this time, because if you recall, they killed him and Mega Man in the Ridley trailer.
Yeah.
Like, they show them getting impaled by the tail of Ridley, and it's like, murder! Emphatically! And then, of course, there was DDD getting, like, crunched by K. Rool.
All right. Luigi got died from the Reaper.
Yeah, he became a ghost and then almost possessed his body and then, you know, didn't. And then Duck Hunt Dog mocking us and then getting his own because of Banjo and Kazooie, so thank you for that. But yeah, it's like, they've committed before. Commit to the death. Come on, Sephiroth. He's killed, you know, characters famously and infamously. So, yeah. Just saying. And yes, Aerith dies. Don't tell me she doesn't.
No.
It's a 20-plus-year-old game. Get over it.
I'm still playing it. Spoiler alert. That, oh, what about Aerith, though? Like E-A-E-R-I-S.
I know, Kingdom Hearts. That's a cop-out, and you know it.
Like, did she die?
Like, Squall is Leon. Right. Sure. But what Squall isn't a good enough name for Kingdom Hearts? I mean, you have Riku and Sora and Kairi and, you know, all of them, and you're telling me that Squall is so odd for you? Really? Fine.
There are things... Quick sidebar here. Just one I'm known for. So, I was watching Attack on Titan, and... one of the plot twists got revealed, and I won't spoil it for people who haven't seen it, but I didn't remember it until I saw it, and I was like, oh, I remember, like, three more that are going to come, and I've never watched a show or followed. I just saw it on Twitter, and it's just stuff you know from being alive.
Yeah.
What video game plot twists do you just sort of know from being alive?
Aerith.
Like, Aerith's dying is obviously one.
Well, hold on. The reason I say Aerith is because obviously I didn't play Final Fantasy VII until much later in my life, and I didn't even get to that part of the game. But I remember X-Play, and they were doing a segment or something on Final Fantasy VII, I guess, or maybe it was about character deaths. And Morgan Webb goes, Aerith dies. Don't tell me she's not dead. Don't tell me there's, like, some Game Shark code to reveal she's still alive. She is dead. And I'm just like, the passion for Morgan Webb. Because she's like, Aerith dies! So, like, that's that one I know. And I think, like, there were some twists in Halo that I technically know. You know,
Sheik being Zelda. That's another one.
I played that one, so that one I just... You know, yeah. That one I found out on my own.
Yeah, but just for, like, I don't know, like, people in general, like, somebody who's, like, tangentially a gamer, like, they're just, things that they'll just know.
Yeah.
Like, the Sheik is one, Aerith is one, I'm trying to think of another one, but I can't.
He's in another castle.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's a good one. That counts.
That's a good one. I don't know, like, that's a good one. I mean, there's some, like, lesser ones, like, there are some Gears of War twists that I know was big in their own way, and, oh gosh, I don't know.
I mean, the most mainstream of games, like, from Dragon Quest, Final Fantasy VII, like, what are, like, the most famous spoilers out there, like, from 20-plus-year-old games? It's like... I don't know. Kirby is a monster that we didn't know back 3 years ago.
Kirby sucks.
Literally. And let's see, like Final Fantasy VII from Chrono Trigger. I don't know. Like with these, like the long history of games that we grew up with, and being back during the 90s, of course, like, yeah, the famous quote unquote spoilers from 20-year-old games. Like,
Alucard is Dracula's son.
That's good.
I mean, it's just like you wouldn't think about it, and I was like, oh yeah, because Alucard is Dracula spelled backwards, worst gaming name ever, you know, that kind of thing. There's one for you.
Yep.
Yeah, the fans should write those in. I just looked up a list. This is a good one of Samus is a girl.
Oh, and, yeah, that's a great good,
I mean, you don't think of it, but it definitely would it's be there. Back in the day.
Or how about Sonic is technically a jerk because we won't wait for you to come back and he'll just jump off the screen.
I'm out of here.
I was like, I'm out of here. So that's a good one. What else was on the list?
GLaDOS from Portal is evil.
Oh yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
Obvious.
Yeah.
No, not obvious, but it's hilarious. And it's like, yeah. That cake is a lie.
Yeah, the first time I played that game, I remember. I think I play two first. I can't totally remember, but. That scene is awesome. I remember thinking, if I was surprised by this, it would be even better. Like, you turn around, and all of a sudden you're in this furnace about to get roasted. That's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Let us know what you guys think, because I think that's an interesting, fun little thing.
All right, so going on from that to another monster topic, which is what did Nintendo do wrong in 2020, which will be kind enough because of the pandemic, but the biggest thing, we talked about this basically all year, was the lack of Nintendo Directs. And we acknowledge fully that part of it was because of the pandemic, but part of it wasn't. All right, like in the early months when everything started going crazy, heck yeah, we understood that there wasn't a Nintendo Direct. But then it started like kind of stabilize and Nintendo started getting their flow back together and they just got really weird with how they handled things, like the partner showcases, the reveal of games like Paper Mario Origami King just being cold dropped onto Twitter with no like teases or like super surprise trailers. Just, hey, here's Paper Mario Origami King. It's coming out soon. And though they eventually, you know, picked it up, we still are kind of clueless on what's happening in 2021 outside of third-party titles. Like, we know a lot of third-party games are coming out this year, and that's awesome. And we'll be talking about that a little later. But, like, first-party, clueless. Like, what is coming out first-party this year? Like, tell me, guys. I don't know.
Bowser's Fury.
Oh, I don't count that. That's a remake with
added content. Oh, yeah. No, you're right, though. I mean, you're totally right. Is that it? That might actually be it.
For now, yeah. So, and like, and they did like the dumbest tease ever at the Game Awards about that, where they showed like nothing about it. It's like, hey, Bowser's Fury coming, great, tell us more. No. Like, come on, Nintendo. You've literally had a year to get your act together through this. So, what's your excuse exactly? But yeah, that's my big thing. What about you, Will? What's your big letdown from Nintendo this year or last year?
The biggest letdown from Nintendo, I guess it's just like we're going to just a lack of any like big hitters, to say the least. I mean, sure, we had Xenoblade, and of course, naturally, we ended up with Age of Calamity. I'm sure that's fine, but maybe I'm just always expecting too much. But I feel like, and of course, naturally, with the world situation, it is, but I kind of wish like they had something a bit more, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, sure, there's Pikmin, Paper Mario, and a Paper Mario that we didn't ask for. Technically, I mean, sure, try to do something new, fine, which they have done something new, but not exactly the thing that we actually quote-unquote asked for.
Yeah.
And of course, naturally, with everything else, I mean, sure, I'm glad that Hades is on Switch, which definitely helped it out a lot.
I need to get Hades. Like, you guys have been talking about it so much, maybe because I have nothing really going on, maybe I'll get Hades. I'm a Greek mythology guy. I would eat this stuff up.
Fun fact, our boss Coop Keep hadn't played Hades, and he actually just recently bought it, and now like, hey, can I switch my Game of the Year pick? And so, yeah, so definitely.
Take that, Last of Us.
But yeah, it's just like, I guess I just wanted more from Nintendo, like a bit, just maybe one more or two more games that actually would have like helped get solidify like the year of 2020. But maybe I was just expecting too much. And plus, naturally, the biggest disappointment was obviously the whole business management. We're going to the whole tournaments, emulators, like this whole poor business decisions that was like really disconnected from its fans, like with the tournament and Splatoon arc and the modders and melee tournament is just, yeah, Nintendo, like, we love you, but at the same time, there's some things you just like really are acting like a boomer. I'm sorry.
On that note of like playing games, Tyler alluded to it earlier, but Nintendo did their whole "What was your stats for 2020?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm sure I did well enough, considering, you know, I had Age of Calamity and Xenoblade and all that." And I found out I had played literally like half of the hours that I did last year, half. And I wasn't slouching in my gaming. It's just there wasn't anything to play at times,
right, and it sucked.
So I totally get that. All right, Tyler, how about you? What was your biggest letdown of Nintendo in 2020?
Yeah, you guys took the two right out of my mouth. my number one has been the communication.
Yeah.
It was infuriating. I mean, they did such just constant anti-consumer stuff from them. The free Melee thing, obviously. The YouTube copyright strikes, another thing. The lack of Nintendo Directs, the lack of, hey, here's what we have in mind coming forward. Here's what you can look forward to. I just remember as the year approached, as August approached, we were like, okay, wait, like, is there actually nothing? Because we kept saying, like, it's coming in April, okay, it's coming in May, it's coming in June, it's coming in July, it's coming in August, and then in September, it's like, it's not coming.
And then we were surprised by Calamity, which was the saving grace of the back half, obviously, but, like, still, that's not a lot.
No.
If we want to count the big titles of 2020, it's Animal Crossing, Xenoblade, I'll count Paper Mario, that was big, and then Age of Calamity, that's four. That's it.
Yeah, and Pokemon DLC, which doesn't count, it's not a big title, but it's Pokemon
DLC. I'll give that a half. I'll give that a half, because like Crouch Hunter was substantial content, I'm told, so I'll give that a half. So.
But yeah, I mean, the lack of big titles was also very disappointing. For me, it was... It was a disappointing year, buoyed by the platform itself. Like, the Switch is such a good platform that I did find stuff to play. I played 717 hours. That was almost a month of game time, guys. That's disgusting. That is gross. That's 1/12 of my life. It's a lot of video games.
Well, hold on, stop. You think that 717 hours is 1/12 of your life?
Of the year. Do the math.
Okay, that's better.
Turn it into days. Oh, yeah.
But here's how I think about it. You said 717 hours, right? So that's not even 2 hours a day.
No, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. And I think about the dog days of summer. It was Xenoblade pretty much from 9 to 5. So sometimes these things happen. It's okay. I'm not mad at myself.
It's like how when you look at the months, like my big months, I think were like February and then obviously November because of Age of Calamity, May and June because of Xenoblade, you know, and you just like get those hours going when you have nothing to do when you're locked in and you can't go outside and be with people. So, you know, it's not really that bad. If you did that same number next year, then we can tell.
Well, see, that's the saddest part is when I first saw the number, I was like, oh, that's not bad. And then I translated it into days and I was like, okay, that's kind of it. Now, it was also buoyed by Ursula's Quest in Xenoblade. You kind of just need to have the console on and it's like a long, like 24-hour quest. So I'm chopping off like 12 hours from the total time.
There you go.
That's okay.
All right. Well, because of our lack of being here for the last few weeks, a lot of news stories kind of slipped through the cracks we haven't had gotten to talk about. We won't talk about all of them, but we'll talk about some of the best ones. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And let's start off with some news that happened right here in 2021, starting with Next Level Studios, or is it Games?
Next Level Games,
who you might know from the Super Mario Strikers franchise,
Yeah, because like that's only one studio I just really appreciate. As well as they did I believe it's Luigi's Mansion 3, 2, 3?
They did Luigi's Mansion 3.
Okay. Oh, so there you go. But yes, if you'll actually let me finish the title, they have been officially bought out by Nintendo. So they are a new developer officially under the Nintendo umbrella, which could mean a lot of things, including Luigi's Mansion 4. It could mean Mario Strikers Switch. It could mean the game that Tyler was potentially teasing up on Twitter, Waluigi Forever.
Oh my gosh, I hate Waluigi so much.
So do I. But yeah, that's a big deal because, again, that's another developer that's under Nintendo that is working on another game because that's exactly what we need here in 2021. So, hoorah.
Yeah, I just really like this acquisition because, again, like, Next Level Games does some great titles ever since, like, even back on the Wii days. And, of course, naturally, Strikers is definitely one of the top. Personally, for me, I love Strikers. It's just, like, I make this comparison so much, but basically it's, like, the Attitude Era of Nintendo. And just seeing these Nintendo characters being so edgy to the point of being brutal is just, like, okay. And I'm not sure. Like, I also read, like, one article up on the internet saying, like, Nintendo had a bit of a beef with Next Level Games of how they interpreted Mario characters in such a way with their whole Attitude Era adjustment. I don't know, but like it just kind of feel funny that Nintendo bought Next Level Games, and here is hoping we finally get another Mario Strikers, and just like, please, can you please give that Attitude Era back, please? That's the one thing we love about those games. So please bring back
don't push it. I'm just a soccer guy, so. But yeah, I think we could get it. I actually wouldn't be surprised if the reason they bought it was just so that they could focus on whatever, maybe Strikers Switch, and maybe get that out by late 2021 or early 2022. Never know.
Yeah, I would think it's like, it's interesting because the last game that they've made that wasn't a Nintendo game was Captain America Super Soldier for Xbox 360 and PS3 back in 2011. And then before that, it was Ticket to Ride. I've never heard of that game. And Xbox 360 in 2008. So they largely do Nintendo stuff. Oh. I mean, they also did Punch-Out.
Yes.
Oh, maybe we'll get Punch-Out.
Yeah, Punch-Out would be great. Now, they could do that without being bought by Nintendo. Yeah, so but I'm sure I think there's just a numbers situation going on there. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's nice. I was glad to see it. I honestly thought they were a first party already.
I mean, I would have guessed that. All right, so moving on, we had arguably the most funny story of the week, which is, wait for it, Xbox. Yes, we're talking about the Xbox Series X. No, we're not. But what really happened is that in a rare piece of history revealed by the Microsoft people, Steve Ballmer and another head of development from Microsoft at one time noted that about 20 years ago, they, before making and releasing the Xbox, the original one, they wanted to buy out Nintendo. Hold on. Don't laugh yet. The laughing will come. No, here's what they were thinking. They wanted to get into the game industry, obviously. They knew that they could make hardware with graphics that could really shine, which they proved. So they went to Nintendo and made a pitch along the lines of, hey, your hardware sucks. We'll make the hardware. You make your software because you're killing it with Mario and Zelda and stuff. And, you know, we'll just buy you out. And according to Steve Ballmer, the entire one-hour meeting revolved around them talking and Nintendo laughing.
Yeah. And apparently they laughed at the majority for the hour, like, oh, wait, you're serious. Let me laugh even harder.
Yeah. If you want to queue up that now is the time laugh gif, go ahead, Will, as I keep talking. But the reason this is both funny and ironic is two reasons. One, you can see why at the time Nintendo laughed Microsoft out of the room. You know, yes, they had been doing gaming on PC, sure, but this was a console thing that they had been doing for, at that time, about 17, 18 years, and yet Microsoft was saying, hey, you guys don't know how to make hardware, but we do. So I can understand that. The irony for Microsoft was that they were right in that the hardware that Nintendo made and would make in regards to the GameCube, the Wii, and the Wii U wasn't up to par with what they were going to do with their consoles.
Right.
But the games that they wanted to get from Nintendo would have absolutely saved their carcasses, as we would find out in the Xbox, Xbox 360, and Xbox One eras, where they had nothing and Nintendo had everything. So you almost have to wonder, if that unity had happened, how would it have changed the gaming world as a whole? Because motion controls likely wouldn't have happened. Mm-mm-mm. Not to this degree. The Switch probably wouldn't have happened. Because remember, the hardware was all Microsoft. So if they were running that ship, would have been up to Nintendo to make the game. So they wouldn't have had control and say, hey, let's do like a handheld console like the Switch. No, we're going to do next-gen graphics. Again, what could possibly go wrong? It's not like our headliner game is going to be delayed infinitely.
That was good. Thank you. Respect.
I know. Well, you know what you say, when you're an angel, you got to have the halo. Anyway, but I love this story because, A, I love gaming history, but this is just, I really wanted to be in that room. I wanted to be in that room with the Nintendo laughing at Microsoft and knowing what I know now. Because it's like, well, you're right, but you're right also. What do we do here?
I don't necessarily think it would have been the worst thing in the world. Like, it's hard to imagine, for sure. And, like, obviously, alternate future, we can all imagine whatever we'd like for how it would turn out. I do think that there are some things that Microsoft does that are just strictly better than Nintendo. They're way more consumer friendly, and their hardware. They have the money for the hardware. Like, the Switch is amazing. I just think only Nintendo is creative enough to come up with that. But at the same time, when you see all these other crazy cool games that are being released on consoles with better technology or more powerful technology, you do, as a Nintendo fan, sort of just wish, I wish we had that. I wish we had that 4K Spider-Man game on our device, you know?
Yeah.
So I can see it from both sides, for sure. I'm glad that it went the way it went.
I think what decided this wasn't even the, I don't want to call it audacity, but the aggressive pitch that they made, like, oh, hey, your hardware sucks, our hardware is better, let's work together. But I think it would have been that Nintendo, as weird as they can be at times, and yet we all know they can be weird, they have this desire to push things in directions that no one expects or wants, and they don't like being controlled outside of their own crew. Yeah. And I think Microsoft, which has been proven, especially over the Xbox One era, isn't exactly the best at times with handling their developer studios and, you know, getting games made properly and on time and actually in the way that the gamers want it, unlike Nintendo, who are willing to wait their turn and, you know, release a game when it's absolutely perfect or as close to it as possible. So I think just their contrasting natures wouldn't have allowed it to happen.
I agree.
But the way they did it is hilarious. Like, oh, you're serious. Oh, we're laughing louder, like Will said.
It's definitely like the whole cultural differences as well, because like I can only imagine, like, as I said, like, yeah, your system sucks. Like, I know you make some great games, but your console sucks. Let us do it. And then it ends. Like, yeah, there's definitely that whole mentality, because again, Microsoft was basically the newbie of the gaming industry, because like I still remember that fan video of like, of course, yeah, we see Sony and Nintendo going at each other for the ages and aeons back when we were growing up. And then we see this nobody knew Microsoft, like, where the heck you came from? And it's like nobody paid attention to it until, like, of course, much more later in the years. So just Microsoft to approach Nintendo, which is pretty much one of the biggest daddies around there, aside from Sony, to like, hey, can you listen to us for a little bit? Like, and it's like, yeah, like Microsoft, I mean, of course, as the years goes on, you learn, but back then you do not say something like that to Nintendo, which pretty much literally saved the game industry. So I mean, of course, yeah, they have, unfortunately, Nintendo is known for bravado and a little bit too far up their own heads, but they have been known to do some great things, and great things they have done. Yeah. So it's just like, it's just so interesting to say this again, even during the Iwata era of Nintendo, is just like, again, they know have made some good things. I mean, sure, for the Wii, and of course the horrible things of Wii Music, yada yada, of course they have some setbacks, but overall they have done some great things. And as with that alternate timeline of what happens if that alliance from Microsoft and Nintendo happened much more earlier instead of like later here in today's present timeline, is like, again, it would be nice to have that extra oomph of Microsoft technology and of course a better internet online structure that they are known for now. So it's always nice to imagine the alternate reality. But now, I mean, heck, who knows? Maybe it could still happen. You never know.
No, it won't happen. Not now. It's too late. Moving on. So speaking of it's too late, let's talk F-Zero. Because, yes, another F-Zero article, as Tyler likes to say, has come up. And this one comes from actually the producer of the F-Zero GX game, which was the last major F-Zero game on consoles via the Nintendo GameCube. And the producer of this game, Toshihiro Nagoshi, who actually is working on Yakuza, which is Will's favorite franchise. Noted, putting aside the odds of it happening, I must admit I have a lot of affection for F-Zero GX. If the opportunity were to present itself, I wouldn't mind. And in that case, I'd like to make it a challenging game. I believe that if Nintendo just wants a racing game that is fun and accessible, they already have Mario Kart for that purpose, end quote. So there you go, Nintendo. The guy who, you know, made the last good one, he's up for making a new one. Our boss Keith wants one more than life itself, kind of. So F-Zero! Make it happen.
It will be interesting to see, at least, if that future ever comes. Yeah. It's like, again, I love Takashi Nagami. Again, he has been doing so well since with the games of Yakuza, and again, he just does so many great things with it. So I can only imagine with the knowledge that he has now from all these games, from Yakuza and everything else, to actually develop a new F-Zero game. Like, oh man, if they actually can go and collab with Kiryu Kazuma, the main character in this game, or I don't know, a quick cameo character is in the F-Zero world, is like, okay. I mean, because again, yeah, the Yakuza games are crazy. I can only imagine if they put that same crazy element in F-Zero, which that would have been great. But again, Nintendo doesn't even know how to handle the license.
No, they don't.
Which is like, oh my god, Nintendo, come on. Like, just give it some funding, give it a budget already.
Tyler.
You know what I'm gonna say. These F-Zero articles, man. It's every 2 weeks. There's a new one. I want to make an F-Zero revival. It's been like 5 years of those, maybe longer.
It's longer.
An F-Zero article a week. Like, I propose, and I know I'm going to get shot down because it's free thing to talk about, that nobody talk about the F-Zero rumors until Nintendo actually announces an F-Zero game. Like, at some point, they'll announce one, maybe, and if they do, then it's time to talk about it. And then we can say, how did it happen? That'll be great. But in the meantime, I am sick of these, oh man, F-Zero, it could come back. No, it's not. It's not coming back.
We'll see. All right, so as it was the end of 2020 a little while back, a lot of stats are being compiled, including who was the best console of December 2020, 2020 overall, Switch, and so on and so forth. And Nintendo has compiled a list of the best-selling indie games for Switch in 2020. Now, these games I'm about to list are not in any order. They were just what was revealed in the Nintendo video. So, we have Hades, Streets of Rage 4, Spiritfarer, Moving Out, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Carrion, What the Golf, Shantae and the Seven Sirens, Super Mega Baseball 3, didn't know that existed, Super Liminal, the Jackbox Party Pack 7, okay, Sakuna of Rice and Ruin, Kentucky Route Zero TV Edition, Cross Code, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon 2, and Neon Abyss.
I am surprised by some of those because I haven't heard of a couple of them.
Yeah, same.
Hades, obviously not surprising. Streets of Rage, obviously not surprising. Those games...
Spiritfarer.
Spiritfarer, not surprising either.
Yeah.
But what was the last one? Neon
Abyss.
Neon Abyss, interesting. Yeah. Maybe I'll check that out.
I'm glad that Ori and Shantae... did good. I of course had Shantae on the Switch. I didn't like it as much as the previous game, but it was still fun. You know, Spiritfarer, I've heard nothing but great things about that. I think that game got screwed at the Game Awards. All right, mm-hmm. Like that one should never have lost. It was so good. I have a friend who worked on Streets of Rage 4 music, so I was glad to see that game did really well on Switch. So, and again, indie games, they're just doing well on Switch. Can't deny it. So, food for thought. All right, and finally, we might actually have an indication of what is coming to Nintendo and first party for 2021. Because in 2021 is the 29th anniversary of Kirby, which means 2022 will be the 30th anniversary. And the Kirby director at HAL Laboratory, Shinya Kumazaki, said, quote, "Though I can't talk about our next game yet, HAL actually turned 40 this year. We're trying to figure out what people want to see from us and what our next challenge should be. There are many things a creator can strive toward, and they're all enjoyable. We'll take that feeling and tackle 2021 head on. Kirby turns 29 in 2021. While fans enjoy our games and merch, we'll be hard at work on the next project, and I suspect it'll be done before we know it. Please look forward to Kirby and everything else HAL has to offer in 2021. So, yeah, might have a new Kirby title coming out.
I'm surprised. So Kirby, he's turning 29 this year?
Yeah.
So 92, that would mean that was the year that he started. My basic math is correct.
Yes.
His first game was on the NES. The SNES was out by then. I'm surprised. I think it was an NES exclusive.
Was it a Game Boy?
Oh, no, you're right. That was a Game Boy. But I know he had an NES title as well. That's surprising to me. I thought he was a little older than that.
The thing about Kirby that people forget, the first game was Kirby's Dream Land, April 27th, 1992, and that was on the Game Boy.
Yeah, good call.
What people forget is that Kirby is actually one of the most populous of franchises in terms of how many games there have been, because between console games, handheld games, the DLC games like Kirby Fighters, there's been a lot of Kirby titles out there. Kirby's pretty big, and I would bet that we're going to get at least a decent Kirby game this year, and then a big one for the 30th anniversary, if not a Mario-style collection of maybe remastered Kirby classics.
As long as they don't do a set release date, let's hope we're not to do that. But yeah, it's with...
Well, it's a celebration, Will, so of course it makes sense to do that.
Until they put it back in the vault again.
Yeah, thanks, but, Disney. I mean, Nintendo.
But, yeah, with Kirby, you already know that Kirby games are going to do well. I mean, again, from the last one from... what was that last title name? But it's like, it's just like the last entry I recall is just like, it was just a great fun time. And of course, naturally with the different powers and with the different allies. Yeah, yeah. Kirby Star Allies. Yeah, is just, yeah. Kirby is always got to be a handle for a fun time, no matter if you're hardcore or casual. And of course, like, where it can go next, of course, with the different. The characters, designs. I mean, sure, I definitely want to see Meta Knight again, see DDD, of course, the Bandana Waddle-Dee, all these different characters. Like, the cast itself is just like, it's limitless, to say the least. So, I can't imagine how the creative team at HAL Laboratories, like, what they're going to do next for the next birthday. Like, we're going to be more. I mean, heck, I would like to see more, like, Chris Chronicle-esque things.
Yeah.
Something of that sort. But either way.
I honestly have ideas for Kirby games, and so I'd be fine with going to Japan and working with HAL Laboratory. I'm just saying, I'm available, Nintendo! I'm available! Alright, so before we get to the Nintendo Draft, what we usually did at the end of every year was we went back to the previous draft and went over everything and declared a winner. Well, we didn't get to do that because of our timing issues, but we'll do that now! So we went into this thinking that we actually screwed up royally because of how badly 2020 went. But as I went back, some of us actually did pretty well.
I was not one of those people.
Actually, no, you were fine, more or less. Actually, looking back, yeah, you kind of screwed up. you weren't the definitive loser, though. And,
okay, I was the okay. You could argue it.
Okay, so here's how it goes. My picks were, number one, Dormant Franchise Coming Back. I got that one because of Paper Mario. I specifically said in the draft it could be something like F-Zero, mm-hmm. Donkey Kong, Paper Mario, something like that. They just have to come back. And we got Paper Mario and the Origami King. So
and it was
I
a
got,
success.
And it was a success. I will not deny that. The second one I lost. It was a new IP. Now, I could be mean and argue that because we now have two Hyrule Warriors games that we technically got a new IP, but I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I took the hit on that one. And then my third one, which I really regret, is E3 2020.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
That was brutal. Okay. All right, so Will might actually win this one. I'm going to have to debate with you, Tyler, on one of his points, though. The first one that Will had was a tease for Bayonetta and or Shin Megami Tensei 5. He got that.
Yeah, we got to go back to this because it's like the point of the draft is to like pick the things that are most important to having a successful year.
Yeah.
That didn't do anything towards having a successful year.
That's a zero for me. Are you sure? I mean, come on. He did get it right.
If it was a prediction that we will get one, it was the safest prediction of all time.
Yeah, well, so was my E3 guess, and look what happened with that.
That's a 0 points for me.
Okay, well, I'm going to give it a point. So, Will, you get a half a point for that one because I'm going to give you credit. You specifically said a Shin Megami Tensei tease, and we did get that, and SMT3 tease. So that you get a half a point. Yeah. All right, here's the one I'm going to debate with Tyler. That wasn't the one, Tyler, but you made the debate
sorry.
Anyway. It's all right. The second one was that Will asked for more mature-rated titles.
Ooh.
So we did get Doom Eternal, finally.
Yes.
We did get Witcher 3.
Yep.
Was that last year? Well, last year was a long year.
I know. It sucked. But that's only two titles, and both reports.
Yeah.
So, like, do we really give that to him?
Well, so by mature, did he mean, like, M-rated titles?
No, Tyler, he meant T that had a lot of blood in it. Yes, he meant M-rated.
Well, okay, so Celeste, I think, is rated E for everyone, but it's a mature title. The themes
like,
are mature.
M-rated. Like, okay. We all know who Al Will is.
That's a no. That's a no, then.
Okay. All right, and then the other one, which I'm pretty sure we all agree he did not get, was UI.
Yes, that's unfortunate. That
yeah,
one they
that
done.
Was not supposed to be that.
Okay. So, Tyler, I'm going to have to debate with Will on one of these. Okay, the first one he got outright wrong. He said we were going to get the updated Switch in 2020.
Nope, 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 nope.
And
nope.
and that it would launch with Breath of the Wild 2.
Nope.
That's a double negative. You lose, sir! Good
Sometimes
day!
You swing for the fences, and you strike out. Sometimes yeah. it happens.
Okay, now this one I'm going to talk with Will on. He asked for a big summer game. Now, he cited Mario Kart 9, but that was just a prediction. I'm not going to fault him for that one. So the question is Paper Mario Origami King a worthy big summer game title, Will? Because it came out in June, right?
It was July. Yes.
Okay, so that's summer, but does that count as a big summer game, Will?
I mean, technically, like, regarding to the fans were looking forward to it, we'd have no idea what the game was, so yeah. I probably would give that. They were looking for it, but after that, the review is no, and, like, yeah, that's what happened. So I'll grant you that one.
So okay, here's the thing. I'm going to argue my case as well. It sold almost 3 million copies in 3 months.
It did.
That's great numbers.
That's great numbers. All right, I'll give you the point. I will give you the point. Now, if you had said specifically it has to be Mario Kart 9, then I would have. You would have
yes, I would have accepted my failure with my head hung low.
Okay, now this one could be the game. This one could be the game changer right here of who wins this, all right? Game streaming. Yeah.
So that was kind of smart.
That was kind of smart.
I'm going to say that was kind of smart. Now, I don't know if I give me the point. They did stream a few games.
They did.
Yes.
Control, and then we're getting Hitman 3.
Yes.
So
it's up to you.
I'll give him half a point. What do you say, Will?
Yeah, because again, okay. they went for control.
They at least are trying because they didn't have to do that. So
yeah. I mean, I say a lot of dumb things. I'm gonna say that was not a
can
dumb
I quote
thing.
You on that?
So half point sounds good. Yes. Okay. Yes, you can.
Yeah, I'm going to do that because you got one right that they did do cloud gaming, but it wasn't as big as you were proclaiming it could be in the Nintendo Draft.
I was hoping, yeah.
And of course, we all know what happened with like the gaming streaming in terms of competitions, so yeah. But
it's
all
funny
right.
how much you forget, too, of
I know,
what you
right?
said, because when they announced Control, I was like, whoa, that is huge. Like,
yeah,
that could be huge.
That.
And there I was 6 months before that saying that, oh, yeah. we should do this.
Yeah. All right. And then the definitive epic loser of this draft was Captain Toad Taylor.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Because his first one was A-plus tier level games.
Ooh, that's tough.
I'm sorry.
That's tough because I could argue technically Animal Crossing because of how it sold. I could also argue Age of Calamity because of how good it was.
Yeah.
But, like, does that the way he was, like, boasting it, he was saying, like, we need, like, a Breath of the Wild, mm-hmm. like a real Breath of the Wild.
Like
a Mario Odyssey or, like, something like that. So,
yeah,
you
like
know what? Half point, though.
Half point.
Because
half point.
Animal Crossing was a huge one, and obviously Age of Calamity also ridiculous numbers.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so half point there. The other two he totally did not get. Classic Edition console.
Brutal.
Yep. Yeah, and no, we're not counting that Game & Watch system. That was not a console. That was a handheld.
Okay, so how about a 1/4 point?
No.
A quarter point.
Don't even.
A quarter point.
0.75,
so he's
really?
At 0.75 right now.
Fine, 0.75. We're just because we like you, Captain Ted. And then he said 100 Smash Brothers characters.
No.
Oh,
no.
That's tough.
He was close. With the extra pack, we are actually closer to 90. But even including the characters that have not come yet, we are nowhere near 100 characters, including Echoes and everything else. So, sorry, Captain Toad, you have earned 0.75 of a point, so you are the definitive loser! And Tyler is the winner of the Nintendo 2020 Draft.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's all right.
I feel like it was a wash, though, given... the COVID thing really threw us for a loop, threw Nintendo for a loop.
I mean, let's be clear here, out of everyone having three chances, the highest score was 1.5.
Right. So, there's going to be an investigation into the commissioner winning the draft as well.
Oh, it was bound to happen eventually. I think I've won two of them. So, you know, and I'm the host. So
Yeah.
All right. So with that, we now move on to our viewing of 2021. What do we think Nintendo absolutely has to do to rebound from the year that was and make this year absolutely special? So, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the 5th annual Nintendo Draft.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the commissioner of the Nintendo Draft, Tellius Tyler.
Thank you.
Boom!
Thank you. Yeah, boom.
Where's Goodell?
Let's hear it. Yeah, just so you guys know, just like Roger Goodell, I'm sitting in sweatpants by my fireplace right now. COVID's got me. I'm not in HQ these days.
Do you also have a fireplace? I'm really curious.
I do, but I'm not by it.
Okay.
I do have a fireplace, technically.
All right.
Yes, well, we call this year's draft into commission. I am feeling quite good given the victory last year, but I will have the last pick. Will, of the three of us, I believe your score was the lowest, so you go ahead and take your first pick.
Okay, so the first one, is probably the most safest bet of it, but I'm going to go for a hard gamble call, and I'm going to say, we'll finally get some news, we're going to Bayonetta 3. Like, it's just, like, we've been also hearing from Hideki Kamiya and from the guys in Platinum Studios, Platinum, just like, okay, it's working come along great, and during this year, and ever since that last trailer from the Video Game Awards, like, okay, we see Bayonetta get literally ripped in half, and we see her demise, quote-unquote. So, and now we have a good solid year, okay, you've done your good games, and of course, you just recently got off from the remaster from the Wonderful 101 remaster for Switch and PS4. Okay, good. So, can you please throw us a freaking bone here of what is happening with our favorite witch? So, yeah, for me, first cut, we'll finally get some news. We're going to Bayonetta 3. And I don't know, probably Hideki Kami is going to try to ban more people from Twitter. I don't know. But yeah, for me, it's heart news, heart review of Bayonetta 3. So that would be my first draft pick.
Okay.
Good pick. Good pick.
Yeah. All right.
With the second pick.
Yeah.
Triforce Todd selects. Do, 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 do.
Yeah. I'm going to go for something that we all need, especially with already how this year has started. As we alluded to earlier, Nintendo has revealed tons about their third-party lineups for 2021. But for first-party, we have literally no freaking clue. I mean, Breath of the Wild, maybe. Maybe we'll get an update on Metroid, but it's definitely not coming out this year. I mean, Mario title, that's almost a given. But, like, what is coming out this year? So, my first selection, and I'm being very specific on this, is that we will have a major Nintendo Direct by the end of February.
Oh, that's a good prediction. Love that.
Yeah, so now I'm saying this specifically because, obviously, last year, I believe we had to wait till March or April. I mean, it was not the best year.
Again, end part of March.
Part of it was COVID. We all understood that. But given what they did not show at the Game Awards, where they honestly just talk third parties, we need a first party Nintendo Direct. It doesn't have to be all first party, obviously, but a major Nintendo Direct that tells us, hey, here's the major first party games you have to look forward to throughout this year, because we are literally nowhere right now outside of things like Monster Hunter and that Wonderland game and whatnot. So that is my first pick, that we will get a major Nintendo Direct to reveal at least some of what's coming by the end of February. So if we go into March and we get the Direct, I lose. Okay, that's why I put it by end of February.
That would be huge, too. I mean, it's been so long since we've had a full Nintendo Direct. Couldn't agree more. We absolutely need one.
Yeah. All right. Commissioner?
I would be weird if I introduced myself, so you can...
Okay, Commissioner Tellius Tyler, what is your first pick?
Do 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 do. You can just play the audio from last year, because my first pick, once again, Nintendo, the Switch Pro with Breath of the Wild 2.
Hold on, Kamesh. I'm gonna give you an out. All right, I'm gonna give you the chance to just say Switch Pro, because we all know Breath of the Wild 2 will take its sweet time.
So let's do. I'm gonna pull like a Mario Kart 9 summer game sort of situation here, where the pick is the Switch Pro, the scoring board will give me an extra 0.125 if it's Breath of the Wild 2 that launches alongside it, nice 1/8 point. But yes, the Switch Pro, because again, when the Switch Lite launched, it didn't do crazy numbers, but it did launch alongside Link's Awakening, which was a huge title, and it's had legs. The Switch Lite has sold really, really well. It's done a nice job for Nintendo, continues to move hardware. I think the price point is what makes it so successful. It's $100 cheaper than the actual Switch. That to me means if they want the Switch Pro to be successful, they need to cut the regular base Switch's price down and keep the Switch Pro in at that $299 mark. I wouldn't like to see it come in at $349. I don't think that'd be a great decision. But Switch Pro is my number one pick. If they execute the way I've described Breath of the Wild and that $299 price point, I think they're going to see a similar success to what they saw with Switch Lite.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, Will. Sorry, Commissioner. Go ahead.
Round two. We're starting round two of the draft. With the fourth pick, first pick of the second round, Warrior Will selects.
Oh, geez. What a way to transition. For me, the second pick is, I think this is probably one of the most, like, best thing that Nintendo has been doing so far. So I'm just going to continue with the trend here, because I want Nintendo to continue on with the mature streak and, like, allowing creativity, creative freedom for their games for developers. Because I'm not sure if you guys remember, but Top Hat Studios, one of the developers, publishers for releasing a game called Sense, a Cyberpunk Ghost Story. I'm not sure if you read the story a while back.
Oh, like, I heard that. I just read about that something or whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah. Basically, like a ghost visual novel, like a point clicker, like a very good, basically an indie title for the most part, but basically with its own different characters of cyberpunk future, yada, yada, yada. Basically, it went through some quote-unquote drama because, like, because people don't like the designs, yada yada yada, and Top Hat Studios says they will not do any creative changes whatsoever or unnecessary ones to censorship. So for me, in that realm, I just want Nintendo to continue allowing developers or creators to continue with the mature games, or basically creative freedom. Allow developers to maintain that creative freedom that they have been knowing for so far, because again, we've seen so much games have to like change because of, I don't know, whatever reason it may be, but Nintendo has been like pretty much the forefront, if not one of the last bastions for allowing like any good creative games to say, like, whether it be, I don't know, mature titles or even like something that's just a little bit outside of the norm. But yeah, basically, so just to, like, properly label it, just have Nintendo continue on with creative freedom / mature titles. So is that okay, Commissioner?
That is
literally what I wrote. I kid you not. I wrote creative freedom for devs / mature titles.
Yeah, that'll do. And you're right. I mean, indie developers have shown a lot of creativity, and I don't want to bash AAA developers. They've done some crazy stuff too. But Nintendo needs to be at the forefront there. All right. With the fifth pick of the Nintendo draft, Triforce Todd selects.
Oh, I heard it. It cut out, but I heard it.
Did it work?
I cut out, but.
Well, there was music there. There was music there.
You can fix it for years.
Go ahead on YouTube and look up the NFL draft music. That's what
I'm
just played.
I'm good. Anyway, this one's tough because I'm very tempted to go to what I did last time and just say new IP, but I just don't know if I trust Nintendo enough to do that this year, which of course means they're going to do it. I'm going to be furious I didn't make this pick. Gosh, this is...
Oh, you're on the clock. You got time. You're on the clock. But you
no,
got
my
time,
pick, because I'm going to do a bad one that you're going to hate, and for my third one. So for my very second one, I'm going to cop out and get this pick. That of the characters remaining in Super Smash Brothers, one of them does indeed top Sephiroth. I know it's hard.
Ooh, that's cool.
I'm gonna write it down. Smash here DLC to top Sephiroth. I know it's gonna be hard, and we're gonna obviously have to. I'm gonna put debate with guys, right? But like that's my thing, because that's the question. How do you top Sephiroth? You got three chances. We're no doubt gonna find out at least about all of them this year, if they don't all come out this year. So Sephiroth is gonna be a hard character to beat, especially in the trailer. The trailer was just so good, but it's gonna be hard. But I want them to say to themselves, I'm sure they already did because they got all the characters picked, but they clearly put him at third for a reason. because they could have put him last. They could have put him first. And they go, no, we got middle of the road for Sephiroth because we clearly have other characters that we feel are bigger than Sephiroth in one form or another. I want them to top Sephiroth. So, which obviously they wouldn't have done if it was Minecraft Steve coming after him.
Yeah, Sephiroth is going to be tough to top, too. That's a good one. It will certainly melt the internet down if they do. Will, did you have something you want to add?
No. It's just like, again, with that trailer from the CG and just how much service it pays. And again, it shows up that Daddy Sakurai isn't half a children friend, which is just amazing. So, yeah, just to see how Sakurai is going to top up Sephiroth after this, it's just like, yeah, it would be quite the challenge.
All right. When you guys bring me in and do the music, right.
Commissioner,
do the music. Make the sound effect. Yeah,
Commissioner, with the sixth pick of the draft in the third of the second round, you select.
Can I get the music? Can I get the? Can somebody make the sound effect? Do do do. Okay, thanks.
So needy, Commissioner.
Listen, I'm running the league. I need the production value. I am going with Anniversary Celebration Games for specifically Zelda. But Donkey Kong is also celebrating a 40th anniversary this year.
Ooh.
So Donkey Kong as well. They don't have to do both, but one or the other would be huge. You saw what a big success 3D All-Stars was. I actually went into Target the other day, little anecdote, and they were sold out of 3D All-Stars. Crazy. So huge success. Zelda would have a similar success. And Donkey Kong, maybe not quite so much, but still, some anniversary celebrations would be great. People loved them last time. They'll love them again. And these two franchises deserve it. So I think you'll see big sales for whatever they do to celebrate those franchises.
I think that's good, especially with Zelda, because I mean, 3D All-Stars sold huge for Nintendo. It was one of the best-selling games in the U.S. ever for them, I think they said it was, or at least at launch. And so, like, they're clearly cleaning up with that one despite the time limit. So if they do that with Zelda, even if it's just, I'm just spitballing here, like maybe a combination pack of Ocarina and Majora with, you know, Switch graphics
or something
like that, you know, that would sell out huge. You know that.
Yeah. And I'm going to hold my feet to the fire here and say if they, like, slap some 35th anniversary logo on Breath of the Wild 2, that does not count.
No, it does not count. Because that's not an anniversary. That's just, hey, this is coming out during, you know, like Paper Mario. That was part of the anniversary, but that was not the anniversary game.
Next year, I'm going to beg for that to count, just so you guys know.
but I give me like 1/8 of a point. 1/8 of a point!
No, maybe 1/16th of a point, you know. It's All right, and starting the final round, Wario Will, with the 7th pick in the Nintendo draft, selects. Oh, that was good.
That was pretty good. That was convincing.
Yeah. Oh, man. For the last pick for me, like, it's just, like, maybe because I want the new game or something of that sort for Nintendo, it's like, man, like, I could ask, like, for a hard guess on a DLC character from Sakurai, just, like, what else could they want Nintendo to do for this year for a great successful year? I mean, do I want to have, because as much as I want Directs to come back again, I feel like there is a point that it will be kind of phased out, I feel like, but I'll still hope for that. But if there's anything I want to put as my next last draft pick, I am struggling.
What if your scouts told you?
Trust your team, Will.
You gotta trust your team. Get your guy.
Do you need to call Mineta? I'll give you the chance.
Therese Maxey fell to 21 in the NBA draft, so you might have a steal here.
If anything else,
Okay.
I think I got one now. So, I know that I have a lot. We will have an upcoming Persona game coming out in the coming of March month. Yeah, with Persona 5 Strikers for the Switch. So, if anything, I want to see a good, like, good old fashioned collab once again with Sega. So, like, for me, I want to see, like, any, like, we have seen, like, Panzer Dragoon. Like, I still want to see the day when Yakuza actually comes to the Nintendo Switch. So, for me, I want to see Nintendo and Sega collabing once again. Not with the whole Mario and Sonic Olympic series. We do not count that. I want to see like a full-fledged good collaboration once again with Nintendo and Sega. So like some sort of a new title that they can finally work on together. I mean, sure, we have the whole Microsoft and Nintendo buddy-buddy, with, of course, with the whole Doom guy and Isabel, but I want to see something in similar realms with Nintendo and Sega together. And sure, we can talk about the whole Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which they kind of did, quote-unquote, but something a bit more official. So yeah, Nintendo and Sega working together on a new game.
Ball. Okay, so like a new Sonic game, because I think Sonic is also celebrating an anniversary.
But now it needs to go beyond Sonic. Like what he's saying is something fresh.
I just wanted to make sure. I wanted to get it on the record.
No, and I put Nintendo Sega collaboration, no Mario Sonic title. So, all right. So, Tyler, bring me in
with the 8th pick of the Nintendo draft. Triforce Todd selects.
You're enjoying this too much.
I really am.
Yes, you are. All right. Well, you're not going to enjoy this pick, Tyler, because this is the pick you have been dreading. This is the pick you have been fearing.
Don't make me take the music back.
Oh, too late. You already said the music. You already said the music, and I'm editing the podcast, so you can't take it out. So my pick, my final pick is F-Zero. Yeah. We will get an announcement for F-Zero coming back in 2021. Now, I'm going to be clear. This is an announcement. It doesn't have to release on the Switch, kind of like what they pulled with Metroid a long time back. But with everyone begging Nintendo to bring F-Zero back, and them, as I noted last year, which is even more true now, them running out of, you know, franchise titles to bring to the Switch, they need to dip into their deep library and get the Donkey Kongs, get the F-Zeros, bring back Golden Sun. And so, like, if I did Golden Sun, I know I guaranteed would have lost. But I can at least have hope for F-Zero, because we've been asking for it for so dang long. You know, it took them a while for Metroid as well, but we're getting it. It's just taking a really long time. But F-Zero, I have faith. I'm doing this for you, Keith. And I'm confident enough in my other two picks that I can, you know, I can blow my third choice. No one's gonna get all three.
No, that does never happen. Yeah, I just, I
well,
mean,
no,
dream
for first year, we like killed it. Like the first Switch year, we killed it.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like we killed that year. So, but yeah, this year, I have a feeling most of us are gonna miss one. So yeah, so my pick, F-Zero announcement. So there you go.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
And with the final pick of the 2021 Nintendo, I almost said NFL, Nintendo Draft Commissioner, Tyler selects.
Oh, that was good. That was better than mine. I knew you'd do it better than mine. That's the pro.
That's why I'm the host.
Software. Yeah, and the voice acting god. My final pick, software is king, as always. And I am. That's what drives sales, and I think Breath of the Wild 2 needs to be a Game of the Year candidate. If it's not a Game of the Year candidate, if it's not a Game of the Year candidate, I'll accept my L and move on. But we need Breath of the Wild 2 to come out and be that 9 out of 10 game that the original was, that blows us away and gets people thinking, Nintendo, we can't miss this game. It's that simple for me.
Wow. Okay. I mean that is an infinitely simple, Tyler.
It is. So. It is. But it was on the board, and I thought I'm going to grab it. I'm going to go ahead and grab the software.
So I want to note that unofficially, two of your picks surround Breath of the Wild.
They do. They do. But I do think that that's such a key to the year, is that game. If they can get that out, and if it blows people away, at the end of the day, we'll say, "Wow, this was a really great year."
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, okay. Now. This is
and my second one has Zelda in it as well. My anniversary celebration game.
Oh,
wow.
That's true.
A lot
yeah,
of Zelda,
you
a lot of Zelda.
Zelda.
Maybe a little too much Zelda, but that's okay.
Well, I mean, if I was to pick one that I guarantee would happen, I'm pretty sure they're going to do the Zelda anniversary, because it's Zelda.
Yes, me too.
They're going to do something for it. But yeah, I'm looking at this draft, which is now closed, and I think we got some good picks here. Nice little, you know, diversity and everything. So it will be very interesting to see how this year plays out, and to see just how badly we fail again. I mean, granted, I thought we were all going to have like 0 points up for the 2020 draft after everything that happened, but we managed to, you know, pull it out well enough. So it'll be interesting to see what 2021 brings. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
I'm like 90% sure that we didn't do a poll.
If we did,
time.
It's like so old. It's, like, it's 3 weeks.
Yeah. It has been a long time. The holidays falling when they did was not ideal for us. You
okay,
know,
so
was...
no, I checked our thing. We didn't do a poll. So here's what we're going to do. As is tradition with the Nintendo Draft, we are going to take one of our picks and put them in the poll and see what the fans out there are most excited for. So Will, your picks were finally getting Bayonetta 3, Creative Freedom for Dev/Mature Titles, or Nintendo Sega Collaboration. Which one would you want to put in the poll?
Bayonetta 3.
Okay, obviously. I'm going to put the Major Nintendo Direct by February. You can phrase it how you want, Tyler. Mm-hmm. And then yours, of course, was Switch Pro, Zelda, Donkey Kong Anniversary Games, and Breath of the Wild release and Game of the Year candidate.
I'm going to do Zelda DK Anniversary.
All right. So it is up to you, the people at home, to go to our Twitter handle, at NEP Podcast, and vote on the poll to see which of our picks you would most want to see happen in 2021. And, of course, let us know what you thought of everything that went on in the last few weeks, from the next level games being bought out to the story of Xbox and Nintendo almost happening to the hope of F-Zero returning. How many of the indie games that made the top sellers list did you get? Do you want Kirby in 2021 to have a big title? Let us know, and we'll talk to you about it next week. So, for Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of 2020!